the great Catholic monarch and the end times. This is a prophecy that's been repeated. I'm going to share 14 prophecies today in this video, but it's a prophecy of a future monarch, not a president, not a prime minister, a king, an emperor, a monarch who will restore Christendom in the future before the coming of the Antichrist. So this would signal a time of peace and a restoration of the Catholic Church and Christendom, not only in Europe, but all over the world. This great Catholic monarch, according to the seers and the prophets that we're going to see today, talk about a man who prays all night. He walks with a limp. He has a damaged hip. We'll explain why that is. It's pretty cool. He will be crowned by the great pontiff. Along with the great monarch, there's a great pontiff. There's this sort of amazingly holy pope and an amazingly holy king, and they work together to bring the world to Christ. We'll see how that works out. And he also found a new military order, like the Knights Templar, but different. And he will not only be the king and the emperor, he will also be the leader of a religious order. So all of these things are attributed in private revelation, prophecy, amongst some of the great saints. Now, if you get into the great monarch prophecy and do some research, which I've been doing the last few days, you'll realize that there are all kinds of prophecies attributed to Merlin and a Capuchin friar and all kinds of things that can't be verified. So what I did in preparation for this video for y'all is to go through and sift out the good quotes. Today, I'm going to be talking about people you recognize, St. John Vianney, Anne Catherine Emmerich, St. Louis de Montfort, St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Hildegard, St. Thomas Becket, Anselm, and a few others. I'm doing 14 authors today. So this is more believable, because when I first heard of the great French monarch, the great Catholic monarch, I was skeptical. Probably heard about this maybe 8 years ago. But after looking into it and looking through these, I think there's a pretty good case to be made. So today I'm going to make that case for you. You can decide. But I think it is pretty amazing and hopeful, too, to know that Christendom is not lost. It could be restored through miracles. It also relates to the 3 days of darkness. I'll try to connect that today, because I did a video last week and a video this week on 3 days of darkness. And Blessed Anna Maria Taiji connects the events. So that's one reason why I'm also doing the Great Catholic Monarch video today. But before we do, let us ask for God to help us. Let us pray, and we'll pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And as we do on this channel, we will pray it in Latin, the Paternoster. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Paternoster, qui est in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Okay, let's get started. Well, I got a Templar there on the screen next to me. And that's because this great monarch is supposed to start a military religious order, like the Templars, but different. Still, it's a very cool picture. I'm going to leave it up there until I get some other things going. Okay, 14 prophecies. I'm going to walk you through them today. Like I said, there's a bunch of them out there. There's probably 50 or 60. If you go and Google this, you're going to find all kinds of websites with, maybe they're legit, but you just can't verify. You can't verify where these prophecies are coming from. And I want to be responsible and hopefully give you legit ones, though the first one is contested. So I have to say that right out of the box here. It's from Methodius, probably around 311. Bellarmine doubts this quote. And reading it, honestly, could apply to, I don't know, Constantine or Charlemagne. The quote goes like this: "A time will come when the enemies of Christ will boast, 'We have subjected the earth and all of its inhabitants, and the Christians cannot escape our hands.' Then a Roman emperor will rise in great fury against them. Drawing his sword, he will fall upon the foes of Christianity and crush them. Then peace and quiet will reign on earth, and the priests will be relieved of all their anxieties." So here we have the subjugation of the Christian people to the enemies of Christ, and an emperor rises up. Now, that kind of sounds like Constantine. Remember, this comes from 311, so Edict of Milan, Council of Nicaea, we're talking 313, 325. So this could be proximate, it could be relating to that, or it could be eschatological. And eschatological is your fancy word of the day. That means the study of the end times, the eschaton, the final time. Now, the next one comes from St. Remigius. This is 5th century. It goes like this: "The kingdom of France is predestined by God for the defense of the Roman Church, which is the one true Church of Christ. The kingdom shall one day be great among the kingdoms of the earth, and shall embrace all the limits of the Roman Empire, and shall submit all their kingdoms to its scepter. It shall last until the end of time. It shall be victorious and prosperous as long as it will remain faithful to the Holy Roman See, and will not be guilty of any of those crimes which ruin nations, but it shall be rudely punished every time that it will become unfaithful to its vocation." So here, France is going to one day become the great kingdom. It will have, its borders will extend out to what the Roman Empire borders were, and it will last to the end of time. Clearly, that hasn't happened. I mean, the French Revolution shows you that they weren't faithful. France, as far, you know, obviously has never stretched all the way out to, you know, England and out towards Persia and Northern Africa. So this is just showing that there is something in the future that pertains to a French kingdom. Now, here's a good one from Caesar of Arles. This is 6th century. "When the entire world, and in a special manner France, and in France, more particularly, the provinces of the north, of the east, and above all, that of Lorraine and Champagne, shall have been a prey to the greatest miseries and trials, then the provinces shall be succumbed by a prince who had been exiled in his youth, who shall recover the crown of the lilies. This prince shall extend his dominion over the entire universe. At the same time, there will be a great pope, who will be most eminent in sanctity and most perfect in every quality. This pope shall have with him the great monarch." Okay, so I'm going to pause here. Here we have the parallel structure of the great monarch and the great pope. They're going to be working together. Now, for y'all to understand maybe the timeline of how most of this stuff fits together, there's a minor chastisement, perhaps probably the 3 days of darkness. Then there's a restoration of Christianity, and in this time is when we would have the great monarch and the great pontiff, the great pope, who reestablish Christendom on earth. This lasts for who knows how long, 50 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, don't know. Then this sort of ideal Christian society rots and erodes away and gives way to the reign of the Antichrist. That is the great chastisement. So you have a minor chastisement, so a minor tribulation that leads to this glorious age of Christendom. And then you have the final great chastisement, a tribulation that will be 7 years, but the book of the Apocalypse says the worst of it will be 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So the reign of the Antichrist will likely be 7 years, but it's the last 42 months. The last 3.5 years, that's the most martyrs that the world has ever seen, a time of great suffering, and then at last, the coming of Christ at the end of that time, and doomsday, judgment day. People disagree on these things, but that's kind of If you believe in the great monarch and the great pope and all the 3 days of darkness, you kind of see a minor chastisement and then a glory period, which is often called the reign of Mary. I'll do some more videos on it. Just wanted to give you that timeline. So I'm going to keep going here. The pope shall have with him the great monarch, the most virtuous man, who shall become the son of a holy race of the French kings. This great monarch will assist the Pope in the reformation of the whole world. Many princes and nations that are living in error and in piety shall be converted, and an admirable peace shall be appeased through their repentance, penance, and good works. There will be one common law, one faith, one baptism, one religion. All nations shall recognize the Holy See of Rome and shall pay homage to the Pope. But after some considerable time, pause here, considerable time, how much is that? I don't know. Fervor shall cool, iniquity shall abound, and moral corruption shall become worse than ever, which shall bring upon mankind the last and worst persecution of the Antichrist, and then the end of the world. End quote. I mean, that gives it pretty clear there. So, what I like, I just like thinking about this, the great monarch and the great pope, the great pontiff, working together, one faith, one baptism, one religion, all nations recognizing the Holy See of Rome. Amazing, amazing. None of us, I think, will likely live to see any of this. It's for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, unless something miraculous happens soon. All right, the next one is from Saint Cataldus. He writes, and this is 7th century, so 600s. The great monarch will be in war till he is 40 years of age. A king of the House of the Lily, he will assemble great armies and expel tyrants from his empire. He will conquer England and other island empires. Greece he will invade, and he will be made king thereof. Colchis, Cyprus, and the Turks and barbarians he will subdue and have all men to worship the crucified one. He will at length lay down his crown in Jerusalem. So this is a man who is a saint. He is like King Saint Louis the Ninth. And he will be at war till he is 40 years of age. Good. Okay, so those are from the first millennium. Those were four prophecies. Now I'm going to turn to 10 more prophecies. And these begin with Saint Anselm. Saint Anselm, doctor of the church. Can't discount Saint Anselm. Now, Saint Anselm, this is not really a prophecy. This is Saint Anselm. And by the way, if you're enjoying this video, I would really appreciate you if you would hit the like button. That's the thumbs up. It's underneath our Templar's feet on the screen. So look at our Templar shield, go down, hit the thumbs up if you like it. And while you're there, hit the share button and share this video on Twitter or Facebook. That's really the most important thing you could do. It's the thing I'm most grateful for if you could share this video with your friends and family on Twitter or on Facebook. And of course, if you're not subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. Notifications on. Okay. Anselm is saying, not a prophecy, but Anselm is saying that there's a consensus amongst learned men regarding this prophecy that's been around regarding France. Now, here's what Saint Anselm says. Certain doctors, and by doctors he means learned men, truly say that one of the kings of the Frankish Empire shall possess in its entirety, which king shall live in the last time and shall be the greatest and last of all kings, who after he shall have happily governed his kingdom, shall come to Jerusalem and lay down his scepter and crown on Mount Olivet. That's the Mount of Olives. That's where Christ ascended. He shall be the last and consummate emperor of the Roman and Christian Empire. And immediately thereupon, after he lays down his scepter and crown, according to the sentence of Paul, They, the doctors, say that the Antichrist shall come. So according to Anselm, this would be a very short period. You would have the great monarch of France. You'd have the great pope. They would conquer Islam. They would conquer the heathens. They would establish Christendom. It'd be a time of great peace. And he would fight till he was 40 years old. But then at some point, the great monarch would go to Jerusalem and lay down his crown and scepter on the Mount of Olives where Christ ascended into heaven. And that would trigger the end times chastisement of the Antichrist, which means that the reign of the great monarch and the great pope would be only a few decades and not hundreds of years. Whereas those who believe in the reign of Mary think that this could be longer. It could be centuries long. Okay, so this is Anselm. Anselm is the real deal. I mean, doctor of the church. So this prophecy is, I mean, sorry, it's not a prophecy. It's a consensus that Anselm is recognizing during his time. Now, related to this is St. Thomas Becket. I have a son named Becket. It's a cool name. It's kind of sad when people think his name is Becky, though. It's not. It's Becket. Thomas Becket, he says, a knight shall come from the west. He shall capture Milan, Lombardy, and the Three Crowns. He shall then sail to Cyprus and Famagoste and the land of Jaffa and reach Christ's grave where he will fight. Wars and wonder shall befall till the people believe in Christ towards the end of the world. So here we have an English saint, St. Thomas Becket, and he says that this monarch will conquer Europe, and then he'll move east, and he'll go to Jerusalem to visit the tomb of Christ, and that there'll be miracles and wars, and this apparently is what's going to convert the world back to Jesus Christ. All right, the next one, Saint Hildegard, female saint, mystic. She might be the only prophetess or seer in the history of the church besides Sister Lucia who has received papal approbation for her private revelation. I don't know of anyone else in the history of the Catholic Church who has had visions that received papal approval other than Sister Lucia at Fatima and Saint Hildegard. So that's a big deal. Now, Saint Hildegard, who is not, you know, you might kind of think, oh, these are just a bunch of French people making up prophecies about how awesome France is. Well, you know, you look at Anselm, not French. You look at Saint Thomas Becket, not French. Saint Hildegard, Germanic, 12th century. So, no, this is not just propaganda. This seems to be prophecy with a divine origin. Saint Hildegard says, peace will return to the world when the white flower again takes possession of the throne of France. The white flower is the fleur-de-lis. During this period of peace, people will be forbidden to carry weapons, and iron will only be used for making agricultural implements and tools. As a Texan, this means gun control. It makes me nervous, but hey, if the great monarch's in control, I can accept it. Also, during this period, the land will be very productive, and many Jews, heathens, and heretics will join the church. In another place, she writes, for the latter times, there will be more evil and corrupt in the eyes of God. The children of God will be persecuted by means most hateful in the eyes of God. The throne of the last Roman Catholic Empire will crumble, and the scepter will fall out of the trembling hand of him who sits on the throne. By this time, the great king will be a very old man. Hence, all justice will cease and will be trodden underfoot. So, here we have some more clues. We have the white flower, the fleur-de-lis, the king. He returns. Jews, heathens, and heretics are converted back to the Catholic Church. And then the scepter falls out of the hand of this great king. Is this referring to him going to Jerusalem? and putting his scepter and his crown there, I don't know. But there's a detail that Saint Hildegard gives us, and that is he will be a very old man. So let's just put some of these things together. He'll wage war until he's 40, and then he'll be an old man when all these persecutions and sins re-enter the earth. So I don't know, what does that mean? 80? 90? So this would give us a 50-year period of purity and Christendom and a strong church with the great monarch and the great pope. All right. If you put all these things together, which is what I'm trying to do, and give us a sketch of what all these saints are saying, put it all together and try to make some sense of it. And again, for those of you that are just joining us, I've not used the prophecies and the quotes that couldn't be sourced or were not attributed to a saint or holy person. As you can see so far, I'm trying to stick with saints or blesseds. Okay, so we did Saint Anselm, we did Saint Thomas Becket, Saint Hildegard, and now Saint Vincent Ferrer. I mean, Saint Vincent Ferrer is one of the holiest saints. I'm going to put him on the screen so you can see Saint Vincent Ferrer, Dominican. And I mean, he was said to be the angel of the apocalypse, raising people from the dead. He preached in his own language, and it was the miracle of tongues. People heard it in their own language and were converted. Saint Vincent Ferrer, Dominican holy man, died in 1507, just before the Protestant Reformation. And Saint Vincent Ferrer has this. He shall be, let me make sure I got the right spot here. Nope, that's the wrong one. Here we go. Saint Vincent Ferrer. Armies from the east, west, and north will fight together in Italy, and the eagle shall capture the false king, and all things shall be made obedient unto him, and there shall be a new reformation in the world, end quote. A little bit different than the ones we've seen so far. Here he refers to this king as the eagle. This is the language of eagle appears in a lot of the other quotes that I didn't choose for today. But here we do have a saint, Saint Vincent Ferrer, talking about the eagle. He captures the false king, and all things are made obedient to him, and then there's a new reformation in the world. So this corresponds again with what we've seen about reforming the world to Christ. Okay. The next one is Saint Francis of Paola. I'll put him on the screen for you too, just in case. He's the founder of a reform movement of the Franciscans, the Minimins, I think they're called. And he's got a good one. The miracles, by the way, of Saint Francis of Paola are fantastic. I mean, this guy's life was full of miracles. Check him out. Google search him. He's the one who tells us that the great monarch will be a founder of a new religious order. He says, he shall be the founder of a new religious order different from all others. He will divide them into three strata, namely military knights, solitary priests, and most pious hospitallers. This shall be the last religious order in the church, and it will do more good for our holy religion than all other religious institutions. Wow. So the king is going to start an order, three sections. You got soldiers, knights, hermit priests, and then you've got hospitallers. They are the ones who take care of pilgrims, run hospitals, hotels, but for holy pilgrims. And this order will do more for holy religion than all other orders, more than the Dominicans and the Franciscans and the Benedictines and all that. That's pretty impressive. He goes on to say, from your lordship will be born the great leader of the holy militia of the Holy Spirit, which shall overcome the world and shall possess the earth so completely that no king or lord shall be able to exist except he belongs to the sacred host of the Holy Ghost. These devout men shall wear on their breasts and much more within their hearts, the sign of the living God, namely the cross. So again, this is like the Templars. That's why I put him up there. Where is he? I lost him. Oh, here he is. Boom. Something like that. They wore the cross on their chest. Then he says, he shall destroy all tyrants and heresies. This is the great Catholic monarch. There will be one fold and one shepherd. He shall reign until the end of time. On the whole earth, there shall be 12 kings, one emperor, and one pope, end quote. Okay. So this again seems to confirm that this great monarch will reign. He's going to wage war till he's 40. He's going to die an old man. He's going to reign at the end of the world, and then the Antichrist is going to come. That's going to start that whole sequence, and then Christ returns. If you believe these prophecies, which, you know, you can reject them. These aren't in the Bible. These are private revelations. But there's a lot of them from a lot of different saints, and they do seem to conform to one another. That's why I'm interested in them, and that's why I'm sharing them with you. All right, now we move on to one of the greatest visionaries, and that's Venerable Bartholomew Holzhauser. He is a German. He was born near Augsburg. He wrote a commentary on the Apocalypse of St. John, the Book of Revelation. He also had 10 visions that he recorded in a book. For example, he foretold the execution of King Charles I of England. Okay, so he says, the fifth period of the church, which began around 1520, will end with the arrival of the Holy Pope and of the powerful monarch, who is called Help from God, because he will restore everything in Christ. So Holzhauser has divided up Christian history into different ages, and he says that the fifth age started in 1520 and will continue until the time of the great monarch and the great pope. So that tells me we're living in that time period. And here's Holzhauser. Oops, let's move him over. There's Holzhauser right there. Died 1658. All right, now we move on to one that you all love, and that is St. Louis de Montfort. But I didn't bookmark it, so now I'm confused. I had a pencil in it, and the pencil fell out. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead and come back to St. Louis de Montfort. Louis de Montfort dies in 1716. So we're moving now into the 1700s, and my pencil fell out. How unfortunate. This is live YouTube. These things happen. Okay, so I'm going to jump to Anne Catherine Emmerich. And Anne Catherine Emmerich, also Germanic, great visionary. You've heard me talk about her before. I mean, there's things in her prophecies and in her visions that I don't agree with. And this could be because she made mistakes. It could be because the person who wrote down her visions made mistakes or added things. I actually think that's pretty probable. So do a lot of other people. So, you know, I don't always bank on Emmerich, but I read her, I study her, and sometimes I am pretty impressed. So Anne Catherine Emmerich also speaks of this great monarch. She writes, I had another vision of the great tribulation. I saw the battle also. The enemies were far more numerous, but the small army of the faithful cut down the whole rows of enemy soldiers. During the battle, the Blessed Virgin stood on a hill wearing a suit of armor. It was a terrible war. At the end, only a few fighters for the just cause survived, but the victory was theirs. I love this because the Blessed Virgin Mary is wearing armor. Love it. Now, here is, to me, of all the prophecies that I'm sharing with you today, to me, this is the coolest one. Here goes, Anne Catherine Emmerich. I have a vision of the Holy Emperor Henry. She calls him Henry. I saw him at night, kneeling alone at the foot of the main altar in a great and beautiful church. And I saw the Blessed Virgin coming down all alone. She laid on the altar a red cloth covered with white linen. She placed a book inlaid with precious stones. She lit the candles in the perpetual lamp. Then came the Savior himself, clad in priestly vestments. He was carrying the chalice and the veil. Two angels were serving him, with two more following. His chasuble was full and a heavy mantle, in which red and white could be seen in transparency, and gleaming with jewels. So this is Our Lady coming to the great monarch, and then he sees a mass beginning, and Jesus is wearing the chasuble, and he's attended by four angels. His chasuble is white and red. Although there was no altar bell, the cruets were there. The wine was red as blood, and there was also some water. The mass was short. The Gospel of St. John was not read at the end. I'm going to pause here. This is interesting. The last gospel at this mass was omitted. I don't know why. Leave a comment. Tell me why you think it is. When the mass had ended, Mary came up to Henry, that's the great monarch, and she extended her right hand towards him, saying that it was in recognition of his purity. Then she urged him not to falter. Thereupon I saw an angel, and he touched the sinew of his hip like Jacob. He was in great pain, and from that day on, he walked with a limp. End quote. All right. Sorry, there's terrible noise outside because of lawnmowers or something. So what happens is Our Lady comes to Henry. He's praying. He sees a vision of Jesus saying a mass. The last gospel of St. John is omitted. So for those of you that go to the traditional Latin mass, there's always a last gospel at the end, the opening of St. John's gospel. And Our Lady reaches out and touches his hip. Now, this goes back to Jacob in the Old Testament. And from that day on, he walks with a limp. He's a wounded soldier. He's a wounded king. And this is in a bunch of the other prophecies, too. I've seen this as well, that he walks with a limp, that he's wounded. And this is, I think, a reminder to him that he is weak without Christ. He is weak without God. Now, the next one comes from Anna Maria Taigi. She's the one who has so much to say about the 3 days of darkness. I did two videos on that recently. And I'm just going to read this part that she has about the great Catholic monarch. France shall fall into a frightful anarchy. The French shall have a desperate civil war in the course of which old men themselves will take up arms. The political parties, having exhausted their blood and their rage without being able to arrive at any satisfactory understanding, shall at the last extremity agree by common consent to have recourse to the Holy See. Then the Pope shall send to France a special legate. In consequence of the information received, His Holiness himself shall nominate a most Christian king for the government of France. Pretty good. Now, the next one, the last one, is St. John Vianney, the Courtier. He says, "The Commonwealth of Paris, after their defeat, shall spread themselves throughout all France, and will be greatly multiplied, and shall seize arms, and shall oppress the people of order. Lastly, a civil war shall break out everywhere. These wicked people shall become masters in the north, east, and southwest of France. They will imprison very many persons and will be guilty of more massacres. They will attempt to kill all the priests and all the religious, but this shall not last long. People will imagine that all is lost, but the good God shall save it all. It will be the sign of the last judgment. God shall come to help, and good shall triumph when the return of the king shall be commenced. This shall reestablish a peace and prosperity without example. Religion will flourish again better than ever before." He uses the phrase there, return of the king, the Tolkien phrase. So those are the prophecies. I wanted to give you the one from St. Louis de Montfort. That's the one where my pencil fell out. Let me just see if I can flip through quickly and find it. I apologize for that. Let's see here. Nope, I lost it. What a bummer. Okay, well, that's 13 for the day. I do apologize. Oh, wait. Nope, that's not it. Well, I'm sorry. It's the one page I didn't write down and put a pencil in, and the pencil rolled out. So, the great Catholic monarch. I think it's interesting. I think it's convincing. I hope it comes to pass. I think it would be a great consolation. You know, we live in a time right now where the church is weak. It's hard to be proud to be a Catholic in public. You know, there's so much about sex scandals and cover up and abuse and heresy and just conformity with the ways of the world and the mind of the world and the UN and the EU and all these things. So it's encouraging to think that one day there will be a restoration before Christ returns. And again, maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't. So with that being said, I'd like to close up in prayer. We'll pray the Ave Maria, and we will I'd also ask you to please like the video, share it with your friends, and subscribe. Also, thanks to everyone who supports the channel via Patreon at patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall. I'll send you some merch, some signed books, signed copy of Infiltration. If you check that out, patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall. And let us pray. We'll pray the Hail Mary and the Glory Be in Latin. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Sancta Joseph, ora pro nobis. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. And it wouldn't be a show if I didn't say pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. Remember, who's the one who commissions the great monarch and touches his hip? The Blessed Virgin Mary, while he's at prayer, while he's seeing Christ in a mass, Our Lady touches him. And the way we come into contact with Jesus through Mary is through the rosary. So pray that rosary every single day. Thanks for watching. Please like, please subscribe. And remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Till next time, Godspeed.